There's gonna be caribou chili tonight, boys! Puck, luck, luck, yeah! Puck, luck, luck, yeah! Ooh, caribou!
Hello, humans, and welcome to Bonus Audio Phase. We're back at it again. We're doing a lot of these bonuses this year. I wonder why.
Bonus.
Yes. We're doing a lot of bonuses this year because we just happen to be blessed with a lot of really good music coming out this year. And we had Tame Impala. We experienced that. But next on the docket, we have Caribou. Caribou is going to be a very interesting sort of thing to unpack, an artist to unpack. Caribou's newest album, Suddenly, is coming out at time of recording a couple days from now, about a week from now, and we'll be talking about that on Audio Face episode 132.
Yes.
However, we do these introspective, retrospective sort of episodes where we look back at the artists as they are, so you can get caught up to speed, if you will, in a way that's faster than listening to the entire discography like we did. So, Dan Snaith. Fellow Dan from the internet. He was born in 1978. He's a Canadian composer, musician, and recording artist who we all know as Caribou, but that's not the full story. Caribou started originally, Caribou as we know it now, started as a moniker called Manitoba, named after the Canadian province area type thing. Mm-hmm. And there were two albums that released under Manitoba. It was Start Breaking My Heart and Up in Flames. Eventually, it's a theme with these episodes, as all good bands do. They have their first name and then they change it. The difference between Manitoba and Caribou at this point is just like creating a bunch of sounds to make sure that people can identify your sound with other sounds is in a very like fundamental linguistics kind of way of looking at it. But it's helpful to look at the different sort of eras of Caribou. Mm-hmm. And I like to break it down as like Manitoba era, Caribou in the aughts, like in the 2000s, and then Caribou in the 10s. Mm-hmm. But then there's Daphne.
There's Daphne, which is a whole little thing. Yes.
But like, I don't want to confuse people who are like watching or like listening to this too quickly. Let's start kind of with the beginning chronologically. So Dan Snaith, this is at the time when, and a little bit into him. Yeah, born in 1978, started under Manitoba. But he was being threatened with a lawsuit of former Dictators punk rock band member Richard, quote, Handsome Dick Manitoba. Mm-hmm. After that, Snaith changed his stage name to Caribou.
It's the most Canadian thing, by the way.
Yeah. I don't get how you coin Manitoba. It's like, I've named myself Arkansas, and if you use the name Arkansas in any kind of music, I will sue.
Yeah, exactly. Because Manitoba's funny.
Yeah, so it's the province.
Exactly.
I believe.
It is a province.
Yeah, our Canada.
Because that's where it's, Winnipeg is the capital of Manitoba.
Yes. When playing gigs, Snaith usually performs with a live band and he plays percussion. Mm-hmm. And he's got like a bubble of bandmates coming together. But kind of like with Tame Impala, it's one person kind of bringing it all together in the studio.
Exactly.
And then it comes to life on stage. So let's get into Start Breaking My Heart, which was, I went back to listen to this because my entrance in the Caribou was a lot later, but
I haven't listened to any of the Manitoba days, so
yeah. Start Breaking My Heart is very kind of interesting. I'll say that I'm sorry to introduce so many terms, but there's a term that's related to Caribou's music a lot called IDM. It's called intelligent dance music, and I'm going to asterisk this for a moment because I really hate the term, but Caribou's earlier music, his first album came out March 6, 2001, 20 songs long, an hour and 43 minutes. It was very much like an electronic album of that time in the aughts. It's progressive house in a way, so it starts, it has its build-ups, it's mm-hmm. build-up to very gradual, it has a crescendo, big, loud point near the middle, near end of the song, and then it kind of slowly comes down. Mm-hmm. It was a really interesting album. I liked Mammals vs. Reptiles, which was the first one kind of going into it. It gives you a good idea of kind of Manitoba or Caribou at this time. Mm-hmm. The intelligent dance music moniker is kind of this I don't know. It's a category that people who have been ascribed IDM also hate it. But what were you going
to
say?
Oh, no. It's such a small niche category, too.
Yeah.
Not many people talk about IDM.
And it's trying to describe, what it's ultimately trying to describe is electronic music that is experimental in a way that it messes with time signatures and structures. The same stuff we kind of get all the hypey. Well, we take all the bullshit out of it when we say, just do something different. That's kind of what
but it's usually, a lot of it has to do with modular synthesis. If you know, if you guys are electronic music heads and know what a modular synthesis is.
Modular
synthesis is literally a giant box of wires that you control everything through. It's very complicated to use. Johnny Gooner uses a lot with Radiohead, and that's how, like, the earliest, it makes sense he did a lot of it in Manitoba, because that's the earliest electronic music is usually, or like dance stuff is usually through a modular synthesis.
Yeah.
Because it's very versatile, but it's of such a niche thing. It's also expensive as fuck. It's like $15,000 for a complete modular synthesizer, and
that's expensive. It shows great mastery to use. We should also mention maybe at this point that Dan Snaith has a doctorate in mathematics from the Imperial College London. So like, he's a smart dude. But like, the reason I hate IDM is because it's like you are doing very intelligent things. I think it's worth calling out, but I think anything that gets called like smart or like labeled smart eventually becomes taken over by pompous people who are like, this is our music that you should like. You should not like this other music, which arguably you could criticize us for doing, but like, we're transparent in what we're talking about, and our message from the start has been about bringing the complexity of music to the masses and showing that it's not that complex. It's actually fairly simple if you learn it, and it's very fun if you learn it. But that's a lot of Start Breaking My Heart. It goes from Caribou's career trajectory, his songs get a little bit less of the kind of genre where you would like sit back and bop in your room to listening to them while you're like studying or something, to things that you would actually like get out and socialize and dance to, which I think is the overall kind of trajectory of him. Next in the Manitoba era, and kind of the last in the Manitoba era, we have the album Up in Flames, which truthfully doesn't like differ too greatly from the previous album. It's similarly long, definitely a little bit shorter, but there are songs in this where I think you can see little bits of where Caribou is going. Like the song Jacknutted is a little, Jacknuggeted is really random. There's a lot of stuff happening in it, but it's the chaotic entropy that somehow works with Caribou that you can see on display even as early as 2003 with that song. So it's good to like see that and get that kind of context and experience in that early time.
Yeah, because I started listening to him, his first album as Caribou is The Milk of Human Kindness,
right,
which I listened to a little bit here or there still, because there's a couple tracks I genuinely like on that album too. If we get into his more, I wouldn't say up-to-date discography, but more of what people know for sure.
We're now in Caribou in the aughts now.
Yeah, Caribou in the aughts. Because there's a couple tracks, I really like Pelicaneros and Bees. Those are like, but the theme with this album, because it's not super electronic for The Milk of Human Kindness, from what I remember, it's more of like just jamming jamming-ish bands, but like with slight vocals over it, but like it's very stripped back, but then you have some electronic in it as well, but it's a whole different thing compared to like this more known albums, Swim and Our Love for sure. Yeah.
Electronic is more of like a supplement
For this being like for The Milk of Human Kindness, for sure, yeah. Because this album came out in 2005. I remember because It was a lot of that just kind of like jamming out where you're just improvising a lot of the stuff with it, which I like. I've always liked music. That's how I got into Caribou, was stuff through that. And the stuff he did with Jesse Lanza as well, but we'll get to that later.
What a time to do it as well, because like 2005 is the peak of this exact kind of sound that sounds like Bees have, where it's very alternative rock. And yeah, like you said, you're just jamming. You're just like, the song still keeps going. You're adding new elements to it, making it more and more complex, but it's like, it's fun, especially live, but fun to listen to. What about Andorra, the one that came after that?
It's a little bit different than that. It's more pieces into it. It, I wouldn't say it's more upbeat, but it's definitely more experimental for sure. You have, like, because I know Melody Day, I remember hearing that, and it's just a lot of different sounds. There's a lot of aspects to it. But that's that kind of style of that album, where it's really experimental, and then he starts diving more into electronics within Caribou. You have like some synthesizers and stuff in there, with a lot of keyboard synthesizers are in it. I like it. The main thing with this is it's shorter than the album is pretty short, it's just 9 songs, but some of the tracks
about
are long.
Minutes.
Yeah, exactly. They're average about 4 minutes long, but there's a lot of pieces to the tracks, because then they'll like, they'll stop and then they'll keep going, or they'll have these deep things where there's so many sounds. There's a lot of the percussions are very heavy in Andorra, where again the vocals are like that, and we see her in house music where it's just like kind of back and forth, but it's nothing like really special. It's more uses the instrument itself, but that's when he starts to you can really start to see experimentation before then you go into my personal favorite.
When we get to but in Andorra, the song She's the One, I think, matches this precipice between Caribou of the aughts and Manitoba to Caribou of the aughts.
You know what it reminds, you know what it's a good comparison of Andorra is Beach House. It's a lot like Seven from Beach House.
I would say even older Beach House than that. I think Seven is not the right
Sound. Well, there's a couple, because it's like the first opening parts of Seven with Beach House. There's a couple tracks that are like that.
Fair.
But then, not as pronounced vocals, but kind of that stuff where it's sound the entire time. It's that indie-ness. Beach House doesn't use nearly as much electronics as Caribou, but still, that's kind of that style of it. Because then I remember once after Andorra, when he went to Swim, I'm like, whoa.
Yeah.
It's, and that's when I really like got into it.
I get what you're saying with Beach House being the kind of thing where, especially Seven, it's, we were talking earlier about how electronics and synthesizers are an element of the song as opposed to being the full thing. In Beach House, the synthesizers kind of took over to being very close to front and center, but like sharing the stage with all the traditional rock and indie elements. And that's what kind of made it really cool. And there are bits of that in She's the One. But before we get to Caribou and the Tens, which I know we have a lot of thoughts about, I think now is the great time to take that kind of side view into Daphne.
Yeah, which is his little side project that he does. It's not super well known compared to his other work, for sure.
And I even found some stuff that I hadn't known about in searching for this episode. But Daphne is an alter ego of Dan Snaith, as many artists do. They create these alter egos so that they can have the ability to experiment and try different sounds or modifications on their general core sound while having that freedom to not be tied so closely to your previous work.
Because I remember a lot of the Daphne I've listened to is more like funk beats, like jazz groove beats.
Way more dancey.
And it's not super experimental compared to Caribou, but it's like, it's fun. It's just definitely a different pivot. Because I remember when I found out about Daphne, I think about with shout out to We Made It podcast, Bam. I remember Bam talking to me about it because he listens to Caribou Heavy. Yeah. And he told me about Daphne maybe in 2014 or something like that. I'm like, oh, I didn't realize he had another act or whatever. And I go, this is different. This is kind of cool.
And it's good because
I remember the song Face to Face goes hard.
Face to Face.
The bass line is just like, it's cool.
Yeah,
one of the house mixes I have. I put it in there. It's kind of a fun little thing.
And there is, so a lot of artists do this where they'll release music under different monikers or different projects, hopefully to have the ability to experiment and try different things and try different sounds that are far different than what people know them to without the added
pressure and complication
of music reviewers like us going, oh, well, it doesn't sound like the past album, because you want artists to have the freedom with that, and sometimes creating a new moniker can do that as well. On, like, again, to toot our own horn, we do better than I think a lot of other music reviewers do in allowing artists that creative freedom and giving the benefit of the doubt, even when it doesn't quite land. But Daphne is just, like, very much...
It's fun.
Yeah,
it's different, because I remember his... Daphne's Ace album was a couple years ago, right? It's pretty recent. I think 2016, 2017
An EP came out from Daphne in 2019, so this is still very active in the summer.
Yeah,
and there was a song on it, Romeo, that's just, like, similar to Face to Face. It's so, like, not random, but just, like, such a bump and such a banger.
It's fun,
You can tell how... I can't even tell that much. It has Caribou DNA in it, but it's, like, that mind is capable of quite a lot.
He does a lot. But then we go into
Caribou and the Tens.
Tens, which is where most people know it from, and how I really got into him in 2010 was Swim. Holy fuck, I love this album so much. I remember because on MBE they played Odyssey, which is the opening track, or Odyssey, whatever.
Odessa?
Yeah, I can't fucking speak words. And that track was amazing. I go, okay, I gotta get Swim. I remember I bought Swim on a on iTunes back in the day before they deleted all my shit. Thank you, Apple. And then there's a track called Lalabella at the end, track 8, where it's just this straight up 90s little house beat thing, and I loved it so much. I've listened to that track on repeat all the time. I'm listening right now because I'm like, I need this in my life. That album really made me fall in love with Caribou. Okay, this guy's ridiculously good. It was such a pivot from Andorra, where it's almost all electronic, but it's super experimental. It's very unique. It's different. And yeah, you have Found Out, Bowls, Leave House. Leave House is really good. La Bella, Odessa, all of those tracks, they're just, they're unique in its own special way. So I was trying to, I wanted that album on the 50 to 10s, but we couldn't.
We had a very strong argument about having either Swim or Caribou's next album, Our Love, on 50 of the 10s. And it was a close one. I mean, yeah, it's Swim is a very good album, and I like it very much, which sounds like a hostage situation kind of deal. But no, songs like Bowls and Leave House, but you kind of name the ones I really love.
It's so good.
Caribou started doing this thing with Swim that is very much accentuated on Our Love, where, like, you only need 2 seconds of the song and you're in the whole thing. It's just such an enticing beat. It's like, I mean, fuck, let me just get to the next album because I think I'll be able to talk about it more in depth here. But Our Love, the Caribou album that's most recent coming to this, at least under the Caribou moniker project kind of thing, was phenomenal, was a masterpiece. It was on our 50 of the 10s list somewhere. You should go back and listen to Audio Face episode 125 to figure out about that.
But like, Jesus Christ.
Basically, the way we finished the argument over Our Love versus Swim was I played Silver, and just 5 seconds through
the show, like, I'm just okay, like, we can't, because this song, I that song, it was an interesting time in my life when that song came out, and it was just, it spoke volumes to me. I think it was why. The rest of the album, I love for sure. I really like All I Ever Need, Second Chance, Can't Do Without You, yeah. But then Silver is just this beautiful thing of just the synthesizers in the back with the percussions, and his vocals, they're just really high pitched and airy, and it's beautiful. You have this little voice that is really manipulate in the background. You did it the entire time too, and just like, you can float and relax.
It feels like your ears are being hugged, like a really nice warm hug, honestly.
Because I've listened to this song just a ridiculous amount of times.
Obscenely.
Yes. But this album is fantastic. Our Love is amazing.
Yeah.
All of his singles he's pushed out now too.
Wait. I do want to also shout out All I Ever Need, which is the song right before
Right after. So All I Ever Need is really good.
There's a lot, especially in this album, where some of Caribou's like other projects, like Our Love is the closest thing to like a dancey sort of thing, almost mixing with Daphne kind of stuff that Caribou had released at that point. And it was really good. Like the change between earlier like aughts Caribou and here is that this is Caribou who is a lot more tighter at producing, a lot more short and sweet. So like the songs that hit really hit. Well, and just like, it's a little more upbeat, I've noticed. Whereas before, it would be like, oh, it's intellectual because you listen to it silently in a room while reading literature or mathematics or whatever. Now it's just like a...
Well, because you have tracks that are straight techno. Because like Julia Brightly, I know that track is straight up techno. It's like a certain little two-minute thing of just like, on any drugs.
Old school techno.
Yeah, you just want to start running when you listen to that song. Yeah, there's lots of things. He's so experimental, and this is definitely one of my favorite artists of
Our Love quite recently. He's really talented. A lot of people sleep on
single
him.
What single did we talk about? Let me see.
So I don't 100% remember which one, home, but I think it was
Home.
It was either Home or You and I, or we may have done both.
It was Home. I'm pretty sure it was Home.
Yeah.
Because Home, I remember it brought back a lot of the old Caribou within the new Caribou. Because you had kind of that, the
like
sound of Andorra, of Andorra mixed with Our Love. Because you had way more actual instrumentation, a lot of electronics in it, and way more lyrics, especially with Home. The other singles are a little different, but then I'll wait until the rest of the album is out, and then we'll talk about that. Because Audio Face Rule. So
my hot take, maybe I'll like elaborate, or maybe I'll just tease, is that. Never Come Back,
you
and the
I
new.
Is so good. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it's very good songs, but it's sounding a little bit like Tori Moi. It's sounding very Vista. Not a bad thing. It's just an observation.
Like, I can kind of see that.
It's like a much more fast-paced.
Because you and I also gets that vibe too, but it's way more put together than that. So. anyways, yeah, we were very looking forward to it. Go listen to all the stuff that we talked about, because he's done so many different things. He's done stuff with another Canadian artist named Jessie Lanza, and she's fucking fantastic.
Yeah.
There's a lot, he's just collaborated a lot with just different artists, different people, all his different acts himself. Yeah, there's a lot of music to listen to. So yeah. If you haven't listened to his stuff, please do yourself a favor and go down a rabbit hole of a musician. So
yeah, there is, like, you know, like, not to say anything about Tame Impala, but like Tame Impala's discography was pretty straightforward and simple. There are separate rabbit holes you can fall down just by listening to this one person's music.
And oh, Caribou, there's so much.
Yeah, you can't say that enough by just doing like one episode like this. You really just have to sort of experience it. But we hope you do experience it, and we hope you experience it with us, especially as we review suddenly the Tame Impala album that is coming out in the next couple days. Yes. Or maybe you're listening to this in the past or like in a distant future, and episode 132 is just like one above this. So go ahead and listen to that. This has been Audio Face. We do love doing these retrospective episodes for you. We think they're really helpful and useful if you're just trying to get into an artist. And let us know you like these by reaching out to us on social media at Audio Face Pod on Twitter and Instagram. Share the podcast, give it 5-star rating, especially if you listen on Apple Podcasts, because apparently that's the only place that matters. Mm-hmm. Dan, who is my name, can be found on Dan, which is my name, can be found on Instagram at Dan from the Internet, and on Twitter at Dan from the Web. Sean is his name. He can be found at SW Suarez on both. Whole show can be found whenever you get podcasts or at youtube.audioface.show.
Yes.
Thank you for listening. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye. Bye.
Ooh, Caribou!
This is so racist.
There's so many racist moments in Jimmy Neutron.
All Hugh Neutron. Like, they secretly made him like an uncomfortably awkward, like secretly racist character.
Oh, you know he know he's off day heavy.
Yeah.
You know he's hella off day.
Hugh Neutron is authoritarian concern. Like on the spectrum.
On the spectrum. He's by the Crusader helmet. He's by the Crusader and the SS helmet.